Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life is on every week, day, night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'd like to thank everybody who's listening in And tonight on Revolutionary Life, and for those who For those who are first-time listeners, let me just run this down. This program is called Revolutionary Life because we look at every aspect of our lives via, through a revolutionary lens. That's all. And we understand that revolution ain't nothing but change, baby. And that's one thing that's constant. They tell me. Change. The revolutionary is just somebody who wants to be on the vanguard of that change. I break that down, guys, in other presentations so you can listen to it a little bit closer. But hey, listen, if you're on the front of change, you might have something to do with influencing it. If you're behind the change, you won't. Hardly. Anyway, it also keeps us, it makes us keep our finger on the pulse so we see changes as they come and how they're coming. It's kind of like a surfer riding a wave. We time it. We stay in sync. We stay in time with the change. And things are changing, people. Oh, they're changing fast. They're flipping, literally. It's like the poles. And tonight, right here on Revolutionary Live, here on Blog Talk Radio, we're going to talk about black magic. We're going to talk about the black mystery. I hope you're ready. Because before this presentation is over, I'm going to tell you about alchemy. And I'm going to tell you before this presentation is over, I'm going to tell you how to turn lead into gold. So don't go away. I'll be right back. I'll give you a little music.
Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
This is not a drill. Is that all you got?
Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every week, day, night, at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, guys, tonight our presentation is entitled Black Magic and the Black Mystery. You're going to learn it tonight. So you need to pull up a chair. It's a good way to end your night. You need to pull up a chair because I told you just a minute ago that before this presentation is over, I'm going to tell you how to turn lead or any base metal, literally, to turn lead or any base metal into gold. I want to thank everybody for listening in. I always do that at the beginning of my show. Tonight, guys, we're going to start with black magic. Black magic is a name attached to a discipline, a study, an ideology, a religion, I guess some might call it, considered pagan by the Holy Roman Empire, and practices of these ancient is the word they should have used. But pagan is the word they did use. Practices were often considered black magic. I don't know why they call it black magic, but it was considered black magic and it should not be practiced. And it was against the rules to practice. It's against the church to practice. But if we go back past Western Europe into Rome, early Western Europe and into Rome, right, and Caesar and the great Roman Empire, we will find that the Romans, besides their powerful army where they could take over the world, had very little esoteric, had very little knowledge, esoteric knowledge, had very little knowledge of science. Let's just say it like that, science. The Romans. And then there was a period in Rome called the Greco-Roman period. You know, Rome had taken over Greece. Get hip to that. Because all of Western European history is about building great civilizations by taking over something or someplace. And so Rome, who was known for having taken over most of the known world via the Roman army, carrying the Latin language and religion on the tips of their swords, spears, they did the same thing to Greece. Yeah, they did. So, however, they had a Greece quarter of Rome, they called it, after they conquered the place. However, while they also got their hands on Greek, the information that it was in Greece, Socrates and Plato and all this stuff. And so Euclid, for instance, and Pythagoras, for instance, Herodotus, for instance. So the Romans were rich now with information they had stolen, taken, come in possession of by strong-armed robbery of knowledge from the Greeks. And you had this beautiful Roman period known as the Greco-Roman period. They copied everything they could find in Greece after they realized that the Greeks were way above them intellectually. You see, conquerors do that. When they find that they're less intelligent than the people that they've conquered, anyway, so Greece was where the Romans got theirs, and then as part of where they got it, of course, they conquered the known world, so they took stuff from everywhere. Now, the Greeks, of course, got theirs from Alexandria, well, from Africa. All right? That's well known, understood, documented today. That Socrates, that Plato's teacher, was trained in Africa. In fact, Herodotus told one of his students, in their any remembrance of these writings on these guys, that I've taught you all that I can teach you. If you want to know more, you need to go to Africa. I told you. If you've been listening to my presentations, I told you that when Alexander the Great, leading the Greek army into Africa, the man wrote in his memoirs that the first time he seen lighted streets at night was when he stepped on the shores of Africa. See, y'all don't hear me. There was a lighthouse that don't exist anymore, but it's still listed as one of the wonders of the world, that were burning 24/7. You see, the Egyptians were using oil as a fuel in Africa. You remember Aladdin's lamp? That was an oil lamp. You remember Aladdin's lamp? You rub the lamp and a genie comes out. A genie. It's Arabic stories. But it damn sure ain't Greek. that lamp was an oil lamp. The Greeks were burning pitch, tar. Alexander the Great walked into a library already there when he got there. A library. There wasn't a library in Greece. This library was filled with papyri. That's plural for papyruses, I guess. Papyri are papyruses. Paper, which the Greeks learned from Egypt, thanks to Alexander slaughtering and conquering the Egyptian people, the commission, that this time it was understood that that was called Kemet. The Greeks fashioned this Egyptian name, but initially it was called Kemet, K-M-T. There was no vowel sounds written in that language. K-M-T could be pronounced Kemet and spelled K-H-E-M-E-T. K-H-E. Write that down. All right. M-E-T. K-E-T. K-H-E-T. K-H-E-M-E-T. Kemet. There you go. Kemet are what the Greeks called the Egypt. Some form of that. Was the place they learned to use paper. They learned to take the papyrus leaf of the papyrus plant of Egypt, of Kemet, and make paper out of it. And once you've made that paper, they was taught how to write on it. And once they learned how to write on it, they began to read the existing ones. There was millions of them in a library that Alexander the Great decided to name after himself. He was so blown away. So to this day, if you go to the shores of northern Africa, you can enter into that library of Alexandria. In the city of Alexandria. I'm telling you, the man was blown away. He named the place after himself. Alexandria in the library that he had built of Alexandria, but it's named after him. He didn't build, he slaughtered his way to that library, killing Egyptians all the way. It's called war, it's called conquest, and it's called enslavement, and that's how Western European history taught me in school is the way to go. Great men, Alexander the Great. The great Roman Empire, Caesars of Rome. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I learned how they did it. They marched on the world, people who hadn't done anything to them. Why do you think the French are called the French? Because of the Romans enslaved their ass. You see, when somebody tells you, can I be frank with you? Frankly speaking, well, frankly, I don't give a, you know, when people are being frank, Jack, that means they're being straight up, straightforward, no chaser, right? And so they're being free. France means free. Franc is how it's pronounced. Franc, being frank with someone. Means speaking freely. You see, the place used to be called Gaul, G-A-U-L. There was no France. The Romans marched and then killed everything big enough to die. That's the way they did it, Roman style. They took France. C Caesar divided it up in three. Well, we'll talk about how they took it, but he divided it up in three camps and had them fighting each other until he wiped them all out. Friends, Gaul, all Gaul, tres partes, all Gaul made of three parts. We'll talk about Caesar and the rest, but the Franks are free, and they call themselves that, free from Rome. They were supposed to be. But they speak a Latin language like you do. And they have a Latin religion like you do. Anyway, guys, black magic is what the Holy Roman Empire called this information I'm about to give you. The Greeks called it the black mystery. All right? So now, I'm going to give you a little break because when I come back, we're going to get into the black mystery. This is what it's all about. I'll be right back. Welcome to Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio, where we look at every aspect of life through a revolutionary lens. Tonight, guys, we're talking about black magic, as the Holy Roman Empire called it. We're talking about the black mystery. We're talking about the black mystery, as the Greeks called it. You see, the Greeks understood that the true name of Alexander's conquest was not Egypt. They understood that the original name was Kemet, K-H-E-M-E-T, or just K-M-T. Kemet was the name, and it translated into black land, land of the blacks, Kemet, Kemet. Kem, K-H-E-M, means black, even today. If you got a dictionary, guys, or Siri or whatever, just punch in either C-H-E-M or K. C and K has always been interchangeable, just a hard C. H-E-M. Either one will give you black. Black. And so the Greeks... Kim, the Greeks went to Kemet to learn the Kim mystery, or what you call today chemistry, or once the Arabs arrived, they named it something for, by, to, of the blacks. They call it alchemy, of the blacks, by the blacks, or something to that effect. And so, guys, the black mystery to the Greeks was chem mystery. The ancient Egyptians, guys, knew that chemistry was the source, was the only real science, the only science. It was the science of everything, because it dealt with atoms, molecules, the things that make up everything. And everything that anything does, you know, chemistry is psychology. Because psychology is the study of a living being's behavior. A living being is made up of atoms, chemicals, right? And so it's all chemistry. It's all black. Chem. And the mystery, guys, they blew the Greeks away. Was that the Egyptians, the Chemicians, the people of Kemet, understood the chemistry so well, or what we call chemistry, so well, because it's still a mystery to us, that they could turn lead into gold because of their understanding. You see, long before Christianity, if we go back before any invasion, before Alexander, let's get the Greeks out of Africa for a moment. And we'll go back to something they call the Old Kingdom. The center of theology, psychology, science, all of that was in the Memphis. A city called Memphis, that sat on an aisle. And in fact, they had a philosophy, a theology known, there is a theology known as the Memphite theology. Yeah, the Memphite theology, because it came from, yeah, I guess, because it was in Memphis. Memphis is a city on the Nile River, on the bluff of the Nile River. And in this city, this was this puts you pre-invasion. This puts you pre-Hyksos, pre-Jews, pre-Arabs, pre-Romans, pre-Greeks. You have to get past all of that. And we go to what's called, what they've labeled, the Old Kingdom. And if you look up the Old Kingdom of Egypt, you'll see where it starts in time, what they've measured it to start it in time. But the Old Kingdom end when it started and when it ended. So in Memphis, Egypt, they were practicing chemistry and teaching chemistry. So your Greeks would go there to study when there was Greeks there. But check this out. They was teaching one God long before there was a Christianity, a Judeo-Christian religion. They was teaching one source of everything, from which everything sprung and which everything will go back to. A circle, a zero, something that the Greeks and the Romans didn't find out about until something like the 12th century. I mean, this was ancient times. And so, guys, when the Greeks, when the even, well, let me tell you about this chemistry. And let me tell you how it blew away the Greeks. This chemistry, with this understanding from the Memphite philosophy that there's only one God, one thing. And if you listen, if we'll get a chance to talk about the Memphite theology, guys, the creation, their creation myths, they call it creation myths, you will see the parallels to actual science and mathematics. Interesting. However, they taught this in Memphis, Egypt. And the Greeks were amazed at the idea of being able to turn base metal into gold. It was a mystery to them. It was a black mystery. It was chemistry. And check it out. Get ready. Here's some chemistry for you. Already, in ancient Egypt, in the Old Kingdom, there was an atom. Not an A-D-A-M, not an A-T-O-M, but an A-T-U-M, from which everything else arose in physical form. Check that out. And then if you looked at the same scene from a science point of view instead of a religious one, again you will see that if you how about this? If you've ever seen the periodic table of elements, it's called a periodic table of elements. You'll see it in your chemistry class. The first element on your periodic table is hydrogen. And every element on your periodic table has an atomic, what's called an atomic number associated with it. Now, if you're like me, when I was in school in chemistry in the Western European world, it was quite a tough subject for me to grasp. In fact, I shied away from it every chance I got. If this was not something that caught my interest and it required just too much, the grasp of too many different things that are somehow supposed to be related. And so, I know now that when I look at the periodic chart of elements, that the ancient Egyptians in Memphis, Egypt, of the Old Kingdom, was teaching a chemistry that told its students there is only one element. Y'all didn't hear me. There is no table of elements. There's only one element. And you can prove it mathematically. You can draw a model yourself. In fact, if your children are in a chemistry class, if they don't look at the world this way, it's going to be tough for them. Be that as it may, the first element on the periodic chart is hydrogen. It has an atomic number of 1, and it is the only one. It is the only one. You see, if you look at an atom of hydrogen, this is how it gets its atomic number. If you look at the atoms of hydrogen, you will find that it has one electron and one proton. Mm-hmm. And so check this out. If you look at an atom of the very next element on the chart, which is labeled number 2, interesting enough, it will have 2 electrons and 2 protons. Protons have a positive charge. Electrons are negative, just the opposite. Right? And so they hold together, I guess, because of that. But I want you to stop right there. Because if you look back at that helium atom with them 2 electrons and them 2 protons, and you just divide that in half, guys, what you will have if you slice that pie is nothing but 2 hydrogen atoms. What did I say a hydrogen atom look like? 1 electron, 1 proton. What did I say helium looked like? 2 electrons, 2 protons. If I cut that helium atom in half, I'm seriously looking at 2 hydrogen atoms. That's all. I'm not seeing helium. I'm not seeing some brand new substance or element. Somebody told us wrong. Well, that's just one. That's just one. Whether it's religion or whether it's science. There's one source. Everything comes from it. Everything goes back to it. Y'all don't hear me. If I took a helium atom, which has 2 electrons and 2 protons, and I removed, let's just assume it's 2 hydrogen atoms. If I removed one of those hydrogen atoms If I remove what is equivalent to one hydrogen atom from helium, I would only have two hydrogen atoms now. One proton, one electron. Lithium is number three on the periodic chart. Why? Because it has three electrons and three neutrons. If I took one of them electrons and one of them protons, which are equal to a hydrogen atom, you remember? You remember? Hydrogen is one. One electron, one proton. If I tell you I took a hydrogen and a proton, I mean an electron and a proton from an atom, I just told you I took an atom of hydrogen from that atom. That's all I did. Because that's all it's made up of. Now that I've taken lithium, which has three electrons, if I take, and three protons, if I take those three, take one of those electrons and one of those protons, effectively taking a hydrogen atom out of it, it becomes what? Two electrons, two protons, helium. It backs up, headed back to the one. Now, I want y'all to hear me on this, man. Because it's the way you look at the world. It's your perspective. It's where you stand to see the world, to deal with the world from. That can be the difference between success and failure. If your perspective on the world is askew, or different, or wrong, or an antithesis against what you, the direction you're going, or would like to go. It is said that believing is seeing, and not the other way around. What you believe about the world around you just might not be the case. And there's a lot of people out there who will agree with me right off the top. Some folks think we live in a hologram. Others think we live in a matrix. Others think we live in a simulation. Whatever. Guys. Whatever. This mathematically means everything comes from the one. And everything returns to the one. Now, I just gave you a theory that I'd like you to play with. But I told you before this is over with, I was going to teach you how to use black magic, this black mystery, this chem mystery, this chemistry, to turn lead into gold. So bear with me. Lead on the periodic chart has 82 electrons and 82 protons. Check that out. Now check that out. Gold on the periodic chart has 79 electrons and 79 protons. How can I turn this lead? You tell me. How can I turn this 82 electrons, 82 proton element into a 79 electron, 79 proton element? You remove hydrogen atoms, one electron, one proton at a time. Three, or you add them. If lead is 82. Okay. Gold is 79. All right. And so if I took 79, I'm sorry, if I, let me see, 79, it takes to make gold. So I have to start removing hydrogen electrons from the lead. That's all. I have to start taking one electron, one proton at a time from the lead. And after I do that three times, the lead will effectively, if I subtract three out of that, the lead will effectively become gold. It can't become anything else. It is now 79 electrons and 79 protons because I removed three of those hydrogen atoms, those one electron, one proton atoms. And so what else can it be? Now, and if I want to turn it back to lead, I just burn three more. Three, I add three. Let me put it that way. Simpler. I add three atoms of hydrogen, effectively turning this element from a 79 electron proton situation to an 82 one, and you call it lead. No, it ain't. It's gold. No, it ain't. Ultimately, it's hydrogen. They all are. They all are. They all are. This blew the Greeks' mind. They had to come find out how this works. They want some gold. But this was being practiced. Chemistry was being practiced in the old kingdom of Egypt and the later dynasties, the pre-conquest of the Greeks. It was being taught in the Egyptian morning, Kemet mystery schools, the black mystery schools. So the Greeks would go to Africa to learn the black mystery, the chemistry, the basis for all things. And alchemy became a wonder to those who lost through Roman and through conquest, after all these wars. All of this was lost to the conqueror, the Romans, when the Greeks were conquered. And what they held on to, they didn't understand. And they passed that misunderstanding to cults and clubs and fraternities and secret societies to this day with this misconstrued understanding because they got information that they don't understand. Tonight, I want you to understand that Atum was spoken of on this earth, supposed in mythology at least, if you agree with that. But outside of mythology, as people read and practiced this creation story and told this creation story, the words Atum was heard before the word Adam. And spoken by human beings. Anyway. In ancient Egypt, they was teaching the theory of everything, how everything works, where everything came from, where everything goes back to, God. One God. one thing. It all came from it. It all goes back to it. Mathematically and, I guess, spiritually. When I come back, I'm going to open my lines up. I'm going to give you the music right now.
Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
Repeat, this is not a drill. Is that all you got?
Let's begin.
Welcome. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary. Should mention that earlier. I'm your host, Gary. And tonight we've been talking about black magic, or what the Romans called black magic, what the Holy Roman Empire called black magic, or the black mystery, as the Greeks called it, the chemistry, chem and kinet. Being the black land, Kemet. And the mystery guys was explaining to the Greeks that there's only one. There's only one source. One source from which everything in the universe came. source for which everything in the universe returns to. It showed them chemically. It showed them mathematically. And it used chemistry. Got their attention because the Egyptians would take base metals and turn them into other base metals. This blew the Greeks' mind. When the Arabs came along, they called it the stuff of the blacks, the alchemy, the alchemy. And it was, and they wanted to learn this whole story of the Philosopher's Stone and the alchemy that you've read. All of that stuff was leaks out from Western European thought and literature and on back into Rome and the ancient Greeks and Hermes, Thrice Majestus. But you got it wrong. Somehow or another you've lost it. That is not what the teaching was. The teaching was there's only one source. One place where it starts and one place where it ends. I told you that every element on that periodic chart that may have given you all kinds of trouble in chemistry class is not some new element. It has different traits. It has different characteristics. And it certainly has different weights and atomic numbers. But they're hydrogen atoms. There's only one atom. There's only one atom. And that atom rose from the roaring waters of Amun, the Egyptians called it, in Memphis. And his name was Atum, A-T-U-M, long before there was an atom in theology. Ancient Egyptian had Atum, the first one. From that one, everything else originated. Hydrogen, guys. I want you to remember this because the next time you see the periodic chart of elements, table of elements, you will be able to fill out the missing elements. Have you ever seen that chart? There's empty spots. Elements that they haven't found yet. Tell them to stop wasting time. Add a hydrogen atom and you got the next one. There's no need to have stuff scattered, empty spots in the chart any longer. Prove me wrong. Well, somebody already took that challenge and failed. And so a Nobel Peace Prize of Physics is going to the man who said, prove me wrong. And they could not. It's all one. So go back the next time you pull up the periodic chart, fill it out. You'll be right. You'll be correct. Nobody will be able to tell you, no, that's not an element yet. We haven't found that element yet. You already know that that element exists. You haven't found it yet. It's a limitation you have. Doesn't mean the element is not there. Fill in the blanks. Add a hydrogen atom. One electron, one proton. Do it. And that's the end of your... That's how you should approach life, you see. That's how you should approach spirituality. The mathematical proof is there. You can write it on a board. It will always go to one, and it will always come from the one. And when you stop subtracting, start subtracting on that periodic table, and all you're doing is going through elements. All you're doing is take away a hydrogen atom, and every time you do, you have another, what you call, new element. There's nothing new about it. Fill out the chart, and you won't be wrong. No one will be able to prove you wrong. Even though some of the elements haven't been discovered yet, you know what they are. Name them after yourself. Real talk. My lines are open. My phone number is 714-816-4765. That phone number, 714-816-4765. This is a part of the show that I call Your Time to Shine. And this is my call-in section, guys. So if you have questions, if you have comments, this is a time, if you'd like to put those on out there in the air, call me. I'll put you right on the air. Everybody will hear your question or comment. Everyone will hear my response. I also have my chat room open. If you like, you can pop into my chat, and you can make a question or you can put your question or comment in the chat room. I'll answer it in the chat and or over the air, if you like. All right, folks. It's your time to shine. Figured out certain brilliant something or another. No. Because they're theology. You see, in these days, guys, in ancient Egypt, there was no division between religion and science. Right? That's a Western European thing, if nothing else. That's a Judeo-Christian issue. Fighting science, bumping up against science. There was no division between science and religion. They complemented each other. They defined and refined each other. You got to understand, when you don't divide your sciences up into little pieces, it's easy for you to have, if you don't make a difference between biology and astronomy, it's easy for you to have a science called astrology. If you don't see a difference, if you don't make a difference between mathematics and biology, you can see how such a society would have a numerology. This wasn't black magic. It wasn't a mystery. It's because they didn't make distinctions in their sciences. And science did not make a distinction or oppose, I should say, religion. The Memphite theology was the theology of the old kingdom, pre-invasion from the Hyksos, the Jews, the Greeks, the Romans, and the Arabs. We have to go back farther than that. We have to get back to the Shabaka stone. Guys, we're going to talk about the Shabaka stone. It helps us. It's a stone with writing on it that literally helps us understand the Memphite theology and what they believed. And it is their belief, guys. It's the religion. It's the belief system that they had that allowed them to come up with the chemistry, with what the Greeks called a mystery, a black mystery. How do you do that? And we tried to explain to them, it's because our religion, our life, our perspective tells us that there's only one thing on this earth, in this universe. We all came from it. We all go back to it. We're all part of it. Their interest in gold allowed them to sit down and learn some chemistry, philosophy, geometry, mathematics, your Euclids, your Pythagoras. Where do you think they got their information from? Africa, man. Look it up. They talk about it. They talk about it. Their teachers, their students talk about it. My line's open. My phone number is 714-816-4765. That's 714-816-4765. If you have a question or a comment, you call that number. I'm going to put you on the air. If you like to, I also have a chat room open, so if you'd like to break a question or a comment, you can put that in the chat. This is a call-in show. And this is the call-in section of said show. So it's what I call your time to shine. So here we go. Listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio, where we at every night, every weekday night at 10 p.m. Now, check this out, guys. I missed a night or two. I'm doing some studying on some other things that I want to bring you guys. So hang in there. And if I'm not on the air live, all of my presentations are archived. So you can come in here. Log into the site, come to my site, click on my profile, and you will see a list of presentations I've done before this one. You will also see this one, and it will also have a comment section. So if you want to put your comments in there, you can do it later. All right? And you can hear the whole show. We call Peace of the Show, all that. All of these shows are on demand. Check that out. So sometimes if I don't show for live, just, you know, listen to one of those. I've been doing this since 2011, guys. So, hey, you got shows. And you just punch in the subject. Just pull up the subject that you're interested in. We pretty much talk about everything from a revolutionary point of view here. Tonight, on Revolutionary Life, we went into some black magic. We studied what the Greeks called the black mystery, chemistry. And we learned what blew the Greeks' mind. How can these chemicians from Kemet, these black people, this black man with this black mystery, this Chem mystery, turn base metals into gold? Turn base metals into gold. Lead into gold. Whatever. And they sit down and learned a lesson that was lost to the Western European world. Thus is the price of building great civilizations by war, conquest, and enslavement. My lines are open at phone number 714-816-4765. My chat room is open. Got a question, got a comment, pop into my chat. Put your question or comment in that chat. I will answer it in the chat or I answer it on the air if you like. It's a call-in show. Oh, by the way, guys, as our show starts to wind down, I also like to mention that I do for a living. I teach, as you might surmise. And I teach a Spanish class on Sundays called Spanish for the English Speaker. And I teach that class at 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard, right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Not Egypt this time. There's some connections between Memphis, Tennessee and Memphis, Egypt. We're going to talk about that sometime. And I also teach a class, IT class, a computer class, on Saturdays between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time at the same place, 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard. And while you're down there, if you're still paying a dollar for a bottle of water, you can get a gallon here for a dollar. Bring your jug. Not only is it clean, it's alkaline. And they got the black seeds down there, and they got the black seed oil. This is a biblical cure for what they believed in ancient times for everything. Come on down. Check us out. At the Java Complex, 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. And this is Revolutionary Life. You're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. You never know what the subject's going to be. So if you see a little follow sign on your website, on your site there, on your computer, or on your phone or wherever you are, you can hit that little follow button in the upper right-hand corner. If you follow me, you'll be able to get a little heads up on the next program, the title of the next program, what it's going to be about. All right. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. I appreciate it. Hang in there. I hope to bring lots more interesting and informative information. I hope you take what I've given you tonight and put it to good use. It's a fact. It's proof. It's theorem that is provable every time. Every time. Don't worry about it. And I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And as I close out, I always say, I want you to practice being fearless. There's nothing to be scared of. And have no doubts. None. And I'll see you tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Good night.